Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light. Everybody said, my light.
My light.
And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Everybody said, my life.
My life.
He is my light and he is my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Praise God. We don't have to be afraid of circumstances. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. Amen. We don't have to be afraid of the world, for he is my light and he is my life tonight. Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to drop a nugget of truth in our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the presence of the Lord that's here tonight. And I ask you, God, to anoint your word, speak to us, help us, touch us tonight. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for his word tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. When we begin to look at this, we can go to Psalm chapter 118 and verse 8, and we will see that David said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And when we talk about confidence here tonight, we're talking about trusting. We're talking about reliance. Webster says it is an assurance of mind, or a firm belief in the integrity, stability, or veracity of another, or in the truth and reality of a fact. Amen. That's what confidence is. That's what confidence means. Amen. And it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence. Amen. To trust or to put reliance or to look at man as our integrity and stability. And it's a very simple reason, is because man does not have everything to give to us. There's only one who has everything, and that's the Lord. Praise God. And it's very important, and of course I'm not saying tonight that we don't have confidence in anybody and that we are skeptical and we don't trust anyone. That's a fatalistic attitude, and it will not help you. But what we have to do is we have to find the right place for our priorities when it comes to our confidence. We can have confidence in men. We can have confidence in our money. We can have confidence in our car or whatever you want to talk about. But we've got to put them in the right place and in the right priorities. When we find something that is stable, we always trust in it. And when we trust in it, then there is peace. Amen. You don't worry about it because there is a level of confidence that you have in it. It's not a good thing when you don't have confidence in your car. And I've been there before and didn't know if it's going to get me to church or not. Amen. I've been there a number of times and actually had to resort to riding a bicycle at one point in time, till I almost got ran over, and then I decided to walk. Praise God. And I knew I could get to work with my two legs. I didn't know about the car, though. And maybe somebody here tonight could say amen, that you understand what I'm talking about. Amen. But when we have something that is reliable, we don't get up in the morning and worry if it's going to start. We don't worry if we are going to get laid off from our job or whatever it is. There is a certain level of confidence, a certain level of stability that we can find in this world. Amen. But whatever you want to talk about, even if it's a brand new car or a very good job, things happen in our world. Amen. Things happen in life, and those things are things that we can't do anything about. Amen. And so when we find something stable, we trust in it, and it gives us peace. And peace is really what we desire. So what we need to desire is that thing that we can rely on, that thing that we can have confidence in. Amen. None of us can have peace, or we don't have peace, when we can't see the future, when circumstances tend to spin out of control, as Job said. I want to talk about him in just a minute. But when they spin out of control and we seem to have nothing to lean on, that's when the peace flees away like a bird. Amen. When all seems to be going well, troubles come, and we just don't know what to do. I want to use the text scripture tonight to make a launching pad on three different people in scripture, and I'm not going to preach a long time tonight. I just feel like dropping this nugget into your heart to help you down the road somewhere. Amen. And we can look here at this text written by David under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he expresses the confidence of man, or a man that spent many years of his life running for his life. He's talking about himself here. David was not one of the wealthy men of the Scriptures. He was not born into a family of nobility. But David became a fugitive, an innocent fugitive, that had a calling to be a king upon his shoulders. Amen. And it seemed like the promise was a million miles away, and he had nothing to hold on to. If you're not there tonight, just put this message away in your treasure chest in the back of your mind, and the day will come when you can pull it out and remember what you heard tonight. Amen. But David ran through the mountains and the plains of Israel, and yes, even had to resort to going to the land of the Philistines, and acted like he was a madman and let the spittle flow down his face so that he could preserve his life. His is the story of a man without a country, if you please, without a promise of tomorrow, and even at certain times with no food. Amen. And nobody seemed to care. And so David pens this very thing that he found, that he discovered, that revelation came to him in times of trouble and difficulty. The Lord is my light and my life. Praise God. He is everything. He is my life. That is what my life consists of. And I trust in men. I've always taken the attitude or the way of looking at people. I want to trust everyone until they prove that they are not trustworthy. Amen. And so, as somebody said, speak softly but carry a big stick. Amen. And be ready, because life has a way of turning against us at times. And if we were to look at some of these men in Scripture, I would look at Job. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into the whole story of Job. I think that we have already covered that. If you've never read the book of Job, you need to go and read it. It's a very, very interesting book in the Scriptures about a man by the name of Job. Amen. Confuse that with Job. Amen. It's Job. Amen. All right. And he had an ample opportunity to have confidence in the things of this life. He had an ample opportunity to have confidence and trust and faith. Everything was going really well. All of a sudden, unbeknownst to him, he didn't know what was going on, but in heaven there was a little situation. The Lord is sitting on his throne, and don't ask me to understand this, because I just don't understand this. Excuse me. The Lord is sitting on his throne and Satan comes before him. And the Lord says, "Where you been, Satan?" And he said, "Well, I've been going up and down and round about on the earth. I've just been going around." And the Lord said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? Have you thought about him? Have you looked at him? A man that loves me with all of his heart. A man that has come to a place where he knows that I am his light and his life." Praise God. And Satan said, "Oh, he's serving you because of everything he has. He's living for you because everything is going well." And the Lord said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to prove to you that this man is a righteous man and he loves me more than anything else in all of this world." Now, we can say that when we come to the house of God. We can sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But really, when it comes down to it, it comes down to where we walk and how we talk and how we live our lives. Somebody said amen. Amen. It's more than just a church service. It's more than just being a member of a church. Amen. What it is a lifestyle. It is a life that we are living for God. Amen. And he had gold and silver, everything that he had in life in one day. Job chapter 1, and it tells us here, well, I won't go into that right now. We'll pick that up here in just a moment. But everything that Job depended upon, in fact, he admitted the thing that he feared the most had come upon him. And the thing that he did not want to happen happened in one day. It wasn't a gradual process, but it happened in one day. And everything that this man had that he depended upon that made up his earthly life was quickly and violently gone. Amen. Nobody seemed to care, and it just kept on rolling in. One servant came and said, "Job, this calamity has happened, and all of your children are killed." And then another, as soon as that one was done speaking, another came along, and he said, "The enemy came and stole all the camels," and so forth. And then another one came and said this, and then another one came. And Job rent his clothes. He literally grabbed his vesture and he ripped it, which was a sign of contrition or a sign of grief. And it was gone. And if this was not enough, then another time when Satan stood before the Lord, he said, "Ashes for ash, or flesh for flesh." He said, "If you let me make him sick, he'll curse you to your face." And the Lord said, "Do what you want to do, Satan, but you cannot take his life." And so, Job chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes." And so I've got a feeling, the scripture doesn't tell us this, but any man that loves his children, if he gets the news that all of your children have died, I would quickly get in my car. I'm sure Job quickly got upon a donkey or a horse and went to the spot where it took place. And it probably wasn't very long at all after he got the news of all these things that had happened to him. And he pulled up at the house where they were partying with their eldest brother, and there he saw all of the bodies of his children, from the oldest to the youngest. They were laying about here and there, and they were gone. They were dead. And no doubt he fell upon the ground, and and wept, and who knows how long he wept. And then there was a moment when he said, I've got to go check on the other things that have happened. And he probably went to the place where the Sabaeans came and took away his camels. And he traveled to the fields where his oxen and his cattle grazed. And there was emptiness. There was nothing there. It was gone. And while he was traveling, I'm just conjecturing here tonight, but while he was traveling and taking account of his losses with grief that he had never experienced in his life before, he feels something on his arm, and he begins to scratch it and thought, oh, maybe that's a mosquito bite or something. And he began to scratch on it. And he pulled his garment back, and he looked at his arm, and there was a red sore, and it was bright red, and it looked like it was getting bigger. And while he was looking at that, he felt something on his shoulder, and he began to itch on that. And then he said to one of his servants, what is that? Well, master, that's a little red spot, and it's bright red, and it looks like it's growing. And then on his leg, and maybe his foot, and on the top of his head, and he's scratching his head. And quickly it began to grow like a raging fever that you get, boils here and boils there, sore boils. They were very sore. They were painful. And the Bible says that he took him a potsherd, which was a broken piece of pottery, and he began to scratch upon those sores on his body. And the Bible says that he was sitting among the ashes. And as I looked at the story here, I can see that the ashes were a result of the sheep and the servants, that the fire of God came down from heaven. Actually, it was Satan. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sheep and consumed the servants. And so he had visited the place of his children passing. He had visited all of the other places, and now here he is, and all that's left is blackened ashes, and he was so sick and so covered by sores at this point that he could not travel back to his house, and so he sat down, and when he sat down, he did not have the strength to get back up. You talk about trouble, and you talk about problems and difficulties here. Job was one of a few in the scriptures that suffered the pain and the anguish and the grief. And probably when you look at it, every human emotion, every human negative emotion, Job was able to feel that and to experience that. And if that was not enough, while he's sitting there in the ashes, not knowing how long it's going to be before he passes from this life, and it's all over, he sees some figures of men coming over the hillside, and he hears one of them say, "There he is over there." He's sitting there in the ashes. And as he's sitting there, these men come up to him, and the Bible says they were his friends. Amen. You don't become a friend unless you have confidence in someone. You don't really have a true friend until you've gone through some things together, and until the friend proves otherwise. And they came along, and they began to mock him. They began to put him down. They said, God does not do this to the righteous. You have sin in your life. There's something about you that's not right. And they went on and on and on. One of them even claimed to have had a vision in the night in which the Lord spoke to him and said that Job was a sinner. Now, you talk about losing everything, amen, but then add rejection on top of that, and I'm telling you tonight, it can steal your life away from you, amen. But we are those that have life outside of ourselves. Amen. It is not with the things that we possess. It is not with the friends that we have or the possessions that we have. Our life is in the Lord. Amen. And that's easy to say from the pulpit, but we have to live that when we leave the house of God. Praise the Lord. Anybody believe that tonight? I believe that tonight. Now, we turn the story over to Abraham. Everybody said Abraham. Again, here's another man. And we talked about David, who was poor. And then we talked about Job, who was very wealthy. And now I want to just talk about Abraham for just a minute. Abraham was a very wealthy man as well. He had servants and cattle and sheep and gold and silver. Everything seemed to be going good for Abraham. And then one day he heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said, Abram, come and follow me, and I will make a great nation out of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore is going to be the people that come out of you. And when he heard the call of God, it excited him. And there are many that are called. Amen. Many that get excited about the voice of the Lord. I remember when the Lord gave me an understanding of a parable when I first came to God. I was praying about it, and I began to look at it, and I saw what I thought was the understanding of the scripture, and I went to one of the elders of the church and said, is this what this means? And they said, yes, that's exactly what this means. Oh, inside I was jumping up and down that the Lord revealed something to me that I had never seen before. Amen. And sometimes we get so used to the Word of God and a revelatory message or a word that we read that we pass it off. Amen. We don't get excited about miracles that take place. But we need to be excited about miracles, and we need to be excited about the Word of God because it has revelation, more revelation than we'll ever be able to get in a lifetime. Praise God. And so Abraham was a very wealthy man, heard the call of God. God said, I'm gonna show you a land that flows with milk and honey. And he obeyed the Lord. But obedience is not necessarily confidence. Amen. Obedience can be, it can come from several different things. But what we need is obedience that comes from love. Somebody said amen. Obedience that comes from love. And Abraham obeyed the Lord, and from that time till his death, he never had a physical home to live in. Now, think about that. I've thought about these refugees that come from other countries, and they travel hundreds and hundreds of miles with everything that they own on their back, and their clothing, and everything. I just can't imagine what it would be like to live in a palace or in a really wealthy home. They found Ur of the Chaldees, and they did some archaeological digs, and they said some homes that they found had over 20 rooms in them, which was very large for that period of time, and it represented lots of wealth that the person had. And so here he leaves his nice home, and he leaves the comfort and the confidence of servants and money and all of those things. And the Lord says, come and follow me. And he gets up and he follows the Lord. But it wasn't until probably 75 or no, I'm sorry, maybe 50 years later, until the Lord tested him and said, Abraham, he said, Lord, here I am. Praise God. I've come to the place, Lord, where you are my light. You're the one that's directing my life. I trust you completely. And Lord, you're everything to me. You are my life. You're my light. You're my life. Praise God. And the Lord said, all right, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him and offer him as a burnt offering unto me on a mountain that I will show you. Amen. And he obeyed the Lord. Amen. He didn't know that this was going to come when he started out with God. He didn't understand the full ramifications of going to the altar and saying, Lord, I love you. I will serve you. Amen. And probably it's a good thing the Lord doesn't show us everything, right? Amen. Because we might turn back if we knew everything that was going to come. But what Abraham had come to was the place of trusting in the promise of God. Amen. And many years passed, and he sojourned in the land of promise until he heard that voice. And he said, offer him as a sacrifice to me. And so we can see through these men's lives, Abraham, David, Job, and you could place many, many others, men and women in the scriptures that would fit into the same thing. There are many times when you don't have an answer to the question why. There are many, many times that we cannot answer that question, and God did not give us the reasoning or the outcome of what's going on at a particular time in life. Amen. These are times that you've got to stop. Abraham obviously stopped at one point in his life and looked at everything that he was doing and said, now I've got to understand, why am I doing what I'm doing? What's the real motive that I got up and left Ur of the Chaldees? What's the motive that I had in my heart when I left my mother and my father and my brothers and my sisters and all my cousins and uncles and aunts and all of those things that I left behind? I've got to take stock of this again. David had to do that. And probably in his mind he thought, why am I doing this? Why am I going down this road? And then there was Job, and I'm sure Job had those thoughts to go through his mind. Here I've been blessed, and now all of a sudden my physical health is gone. Everything that I love and cherish is gone. Why? Well, there was no answer to the question why. Amen. But David found a place of confidence, amen, a place that he could find only in the Lord, and he came to that place, and that's why he wrote the scripture, the Lord is my light, amen. The Lord is my light and my life. Praise God. He is everything, and every one of us are going to have to come to the place at some point in time in your life to say, why do I go to church? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I pray? Why am I involved in the things that I'm involved with the Lord? Amen. And when you get down to the bottom of the answer, I pray that it's the Lord and your confidence and trust in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abraham had to come to that place. David had to come to that place. Job had to come to that place. Moses had to come to that place. All of the patriarchs, all of the men of the Old Testament and the women of the Old Testament and the New Testament And from every generation from Acts until today, every person is going to be faced with a question, where is my life and where is my light? Amen. Are you facing uncertainties tonight? Amen. I want to look at some quotes here from these men. And I say quotes, they are the ones that wrote it, but it was inspired of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Job said in Job 13 and verse 15, while he's sitting there in the ashes, scratching his body with broken pieces of pottery, he says this, though he slay me, speaking of the Lord, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Praise God. You talk about a light to shine in the path of your life. That is a tremendous light right there. Not only am I going to trust in God, but I'm going to keep living for God and maintain my ways before God. I'm not backing up. I'm not turning to the right or to the left, but I'm going to serve God as long as he allows it. Praise God. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21, when he'd lost everything, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Job could have trusted in everything that he had, but he trusted in God. And he said, the Lord gave me everything that I have. He's given me my life. He is the light of my life. And the Lord can take it away at any time that he wants to. Praise God. You know, God is able. God could have created us to be eternal, that we would never die. But he didn't do that, did he? He didn't do that. He made us so that there is an appointed number of days in our life. And so God gives us our life at birth. Amen. I was looking at little Boaz tonight, and he was up here with Daddy. And I looked over at him, and he was bouncing up and down with this huge smile on his face. Amen. It's so hard to get spiritual when somebody's looking at you like that. But that smile someday is going to turn to a tear. Amen. It's going to understand and learn that in life there are difficulties. Young people, there are going to be difficulties in your life. Mom and dad, there's going to be difficulties in your life. Saint of God, there are going to be situations that come. But we have to understand tonight, amen, that God is our light and our life. Praise God. Gives us tremendous, tremendous hope. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Praise God. There's just something about a man that believes in God and has a full confidence in God. You just can't stop him. Amen. If he's going up the mountain to offer his son, he's going to have a word of faith. And I'm sure Abraham didn't even know that he was prophesying, amen, of the coming of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, now this is the Lord bringing Abraham. And he said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now this is when he didn't have any children, and there he was too old, and his wife was too old to have children. And God took him out and showed him all the stars. There were no city lights to dim the stars. There were no clouds. But it was a clear, cool night, and they looked like lamps in the sky. Amen. So big and bright, you could almost hit them with a stick. Amen. And they were everywhere. The Milky Way going across the sky like a cloud of stars and planets. And the Lord said, look at all of that up there. That's what your seed is going to be like. Amen. If you're going to walk with God, you've got to be able to see the impossible. Amen. You've got to be able to see the invisible. Praise God. You've got to be able to look through the eye of faith. And the Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Praise God. He counted it to him for righteousness, because when God showed him the impossible, he said, God, I believe you. You're my light. Amen. You're my life. I believe you. I trust in you. And I read the scripture tonight. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1, I read it tonight. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. That is his words that he came to an understanding of because of the difficulties in his life. And I'll read Psalms 118, starting with verse 7. You may want to write these scriptures down and take them home. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on, I'm going to have the victory eventually. It is better, he goes on, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You see, when the devil comes around and encircles your life and your mind and your spirit, you've got to be able to talk like this. You've got to be able to believe like this. Amen. Because the Lord is definitely our light and our life. They compass me about like bees. Amen. You can almost feel the emotion as David is writing this. Maybe he was encircled right here as he wrote this scripture. He said, but they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Praise God. Praise God. I am more than a conqueror tonight. And you're more than a conqueror tonight. Do you feel like it? Maybe you don't feel like it tonight. But it doesn't matter how you feel. Amen. I may not feel like it tonight, but I'm preaching the word of faith. Amen. That will bring about victory in your life and your spirit. Amen. What is the word that's in your heart tonight? That when troubles come, do you think about what that trouble is going to bring? And then that trouble is going to bring, and that other trouble is going to bring, until you are defeated in your mind and you cannot see a way out of your situation. I want to tell you, what we need to do is walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. What we see is not reality, but what is not seen is reality. Can we stand together tonight? Amen. I just have a question. What are you ready to say when your life takes a turn into darkness and you don't know what to do? Amen. I think what we need to say is, the Lord is my light and my life. The Lord is my light and my life. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good to us? Amen. Let's love him right now. Let's give him thanks right now.